You're listening to the CryptoCast podcast.
Welcome to the Crypto and Blockchain Talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Guten Tag.
Hallo.
Hola.
Shalom.
Hallo.
Namaste.
Ni hao.
Vivet.
Hello.
Salut.
Yassas.
Salve.
Ciao.
Bonjour.
Our podcast talks about the latest trends in the worlds of cryptocurrencies and the blockchain. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Crypto and Blockchain Talk. Well, this week, what we wanted to do was go back to the very basics and to the elements of what the name of this podcast is, which is Crypto and Blockchain Talk. Now, one of the key words in Crypto and Blockchain Talk is crypto, bringing us to the very question of what are cryptocurrencies? Now, imagine, in time past, what our parents and grandparents must have thought the first time that somebody mentioned the idea of a debit card. After carrying around cash and a checkbook their entire lives, here was now a piece of plastic with some numbers that tracked account balances by swiping a large black stripe through a box at the checkout counter. And it was supposed to represent a real transaction using real money from a real bank account? They were probably thinking, give me a break. This cannot possibly work. And of course, that's exactly what Visa, MasterCard, and all those other payment networks do. They took currency and digitized it, making it easier to do business. It solved the problem of not having enough money on hand to buy whatever you wanted. It also increased the speed in which you used to pay for things. It took time to write a check and then enter the transaction into your checkbook. Debit cards made paying for things a lot faster and easier. When balancing a checkbook, you have to manually do the math to figure out how much money was in your bank account and what got spent where. Part of the debit world was getting a monthly statement or viewing your account in real time on the internet, which did all of these calculations for you. People used to have to sit down at their desk and figure out all of these calculations for themselves, and it could have taken an hour every month or even more, depending on how often you bought things. And this was normal, and nothing was wrong with this system, but it just could have been better. And that is where we are today. Nothing is wrong with Visa or banking or shopping on the internet, but it could always be better. And better means lower fees, faster transactions, better security, better privacy, and so on. And the solution is now here. And this solution is in the form of cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies are not replacements for Visa or MasterCard so much as they are replacements for the US dollar or the euro or the franc, etc. Normal currencies like US dollars and pesos, etc. are issued by governments, and these are known as fiat currencies, and they are vastly controlled by central banks and other governmental institutions. Cryptocurrencies, on the other hand, while issued by someone, are in most cases not controlled by any authorities, although many governments are releasing their own. And for more information on this, I would like you to listen to podcast 14, titled Crypto is Going Country. Cryptocurrencies are controlled and transactions are verified by the network of people who have devoted their computers to do this work. These people and their computers are called miners. Well, it's actually the computers that are the miners, but of course, a computer is owned by a person. They do the work that is done by banks with normal currencies or fiat. Since there is more than one computer doing this work, and this work requires a lot of power, it creates a situation where manipulating and corrupting the data around the currency and the transaction becomes unfeasible. This new financial structure brings many new interesting possibilities to the table. International money transfers used to take days or weeks to complete. you'd have to go to a bank branch and create a wire transfer. The bank would then need to find a partner bank in the country where your recipient lived. They needed to do anti-money laundering checks and make sure that the people involved are not known drug lords or terrorists. All this is done manually by people, so a wire transfer comes with a sizable fee to pay for this extra work. And at any point, they can decline the transaction without a reasonable explanation. Bitcoin was invented to solve this problem. It allowed anybody in the world to bypass the wire transfer system and send any amount of money across the world in a matter of hours or less. There were no middlemen, just a small network fee to pay for the computers running the software that supports the transaction network. While it is not 100% private, it is private enough that it only required a wallet ID address for Bitcoin, yet no personal identifiable information was included in the transfer. With this comes both good and bad usage. Today, Bitcoin is the largest cryptocurrency by market cap, but as a technology, it is almost obsolete. There are many projects today that can do the same thing as Bitcoin, but much faster, cheaper, and require tremendously less energy than what Bitcoin is currently consuming, which you can learn more about on podcast 18, titled Cryptocurrency and the Environment. As we mentioned before, many countries have taken notice of cryptocurrencies and are contemplating accepting Bitcoin as a nationally legalized currency, or even debating on starting their own cryptocurrency, as we talked about in podcast 14. If you are in the United States, Russia, China, or Australia, you can travel 500 miles in whatever direction and your native currency is accepted everywhere. But if you travel a lot or live in regions where the currencies change every 200 or less miles, it is a problem figuring out how to pay for things. Cryptocurrency is aimed to solve this problem, and with many projects aiming to create Visa-supported debit cards that allow you to pay with your cryptocurrency of choice anywhere in the world, this solution is even closer than ever before. Aside from using cryptocurrencies to just pay for stuff far from home, there is another type of cryptocurrency referred to as a utility token. Think of utility tokens as going to an arcade where you need to change your money to the arcade's tokens that can be used at that place. This format allows them to raise or lower the prices of the arcade games without having to reconfigure every single machine there. In addition, discounts, bonuses, and payouts can be tailored to the token holders. This is the main idea of utility tokens. A company provides a service, and users pay for it with the company's tokens. And there may be extra benefits for holding these tokens, such as discounts and bonuses for paying for company products and services with their company tokens. The greatest example of this is on Ethereum's platform, which is a blockchain platform for developing dApps, other tokens, and creating other services. While you can use Ethereum to pay for things, its main purpose is to do things within the Ethereum network. That's the main difference between Ethereum and Bitcoin. It can be used for so much more than just paying for things. There are currently over 1,600 cryptocurrencies listed on CoinMarketCap.com, which is the crypto industry market tracking website which tracks these things. There are many more cryptocurrencies and utility tokens which have not yet made it onto CoinMarketCap, but as they grow in value and market size, they will add to the growing pot of viable cryptocurrencies. The entire cryptocurrency market is extremely volatile. If you lost half your portfolio value in 1 week on the stock market, the stress would drive some people to the edge. If you lost half your portfolio value in a week on the crypto market, you really shouldn't do more than shrug your shoulders, as there's a good chance that in time, it will bounce back to just as high as it was when you bought it, if not better. The downside is that the market is still considerably small, and it is easy for very wealthy people to manipulate the prices. A huge dip in the crypto market is not a cause for real panic, as you need to just wait a while, or as they say in the world of cryptocurrencies, hodl, or hold on for dear life. I would like to thank you for listening to this podcast on cryptocurrencies, and hopefully we've answered some very basic questions about what cryptocurrencies are. We would like you to please follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and also download us on TuneIn, Spotify, and Stitcher. Again, thank you for listening, and we look forward to having you listen to us every week. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the CryptoCast podcast. Stay tuned in for more episodes.